You are listening to the Polemics Report, a ministry designed to train the powers of your discernment with constant practice, that you might be skilled in the word of righteousness.
Listen, folks, we are in the modern day downgrade. The church has to wake up and realize that we've become theologically inept. We've got to become Bereans.
The downgrade is upon us. The walls are closing in. What will you do? And how will you stand? Stay tuned as answers are given for how you can withstand the modern-day downgrade. This is your polemicist, J.D. Hall.
Hello, and you're listening to Polemics Report, the weekend edition. You can listen to the full Polemics Report episodes that come out twice a week at Sermon Audio or iTunes, or by going to the website polemicsreport.com. While you're there, if you could do us a favor and click our sponsors or perhaps the donate button, that would be much appreciated because this is listener-supported radio. The goal of Polemics Report is to train the powers of your discernment in constant practice so that you might be skilled, as the scripture says, in the word of righteousness. And so we want to teach you the difference, not just between right and wrong, but between right and almost right. And there's a lot out there in Christian media that is almost right. Have you heard of the heresy of modalism? Let me explain that to you. Modalism, also known as Sabellianism or modalist monarchianism, is a heresy that denies the Holy Trinity. It asserts that the three persons of the Trinity are mere modes of one divine person as opposed to three divine persons. Orthodox Christianity, that is, well, the type and kind of Christianity that is biblical and historic, teaches that God consists of three distinct persons, all of which are co-equal and co-eternal together. Modalists, on the other hand, believe that there is only one person who manifests himself in three different ways at different times. In other words, he shows up essentially with different masks on. The term Sabellianism comes from a priest who adopted the heresy in the 3rd century AD, although it might predate Sabellius by the teaching of another heretic named Noetus. Now, modalism, Sabellianism, and modalist monarchianism were ruled heretical by the councils of Nicaea and Constantinople and have been almost universally condemned as heresies by each major branch of Orthodox and schismatic Christianity, including Protestantism, Catholicism, and Eastern Orthodoxy. Now, more so than any other heresy, this one is, well, it's widely repudiated throughout the history of the Christian church and has received almost total condemnation. However, there are modern proponents of the heresy, including Oneness Pentecostals, Universalism, and also, well, those who would call themselves Oneness or Jesus Only. Despite vague denials, the most famous adherent to modalism is the Prosperity Gospel and Word Faith teacher, T.D. Jakes. This false doctrine is held by others, and I want to talk about that this week and how that heresy can lift its head even in, well, Christian circles. Let me ask the question for you and for your family. Are you careful about what you listen to when you choose for yourself so-called Christian music? Are you making sure that it is indeed Christian? A genre of Christian music that is growing in popularity is that of, well, they call it Christian hip-hop. And this post is brought to you by Jeff Maples at the Rolex of Polemics blogs, that is Pulpit and Pen. That post is entitled, Christian Hip-Hop Artist Bizzle Denies Trinity is Essential Doctrine. The Christian rap artist known as Bizzle, who is known for using expletives and also racial slurs in his music, has come out in defense of false teacher T.D. Jakes and his modalist views, stating that, quote, he changed that a long time ago. Well, of course, I might remind you, T.D. Jakes has not changed that. He lied at the Elephant Room. The website for the Potter's House continues to promote modalist teaching, and also he's a member of a Oneness Pentecostal church, which is fundamentally modalist in their doctrine. On his Facebook page, Bizzle posted an article by Jonathan McReynolds entitled, quote, From T.D. Jakes to Lecrae, a response to an anti-church article put out by BET. In the dialogue beneath the post, Bizzle made the following comments. Here's what he said. He said, quote, Trinity is not a biblical term. So if one believes in the existence of all three, does he have to believe that they are equal or that they are all God for salvation? Let me stop there for a moment and point out the obvious. While the term Trinity itself is not in the Bible, the concept certainly is. And when Bizzle asked the question, does one need to believe in the existence of all three persons of the Trinity? Must they believe that they are equal or that they are all God for salvation? Let me stop there and give the, Well, the obvious answer that any born-again Christian should know, and it is a resounding, yes, that's necessary for salvation, to believe in God and the God of the Scripture and the God of the Scripture, as the Scripture would define him, a thrice holy triune God. Bizzle poses the question as though, well, it's a question, but the church settled that matter literally nearly 2,000 years ago in the early church councils led by the fathers, that yes, a belief in the Holy Trinity is necessary for one to call themselves a Christian. Why? Again, because we must believe in the God of Scripture. Bizzle continues in his Facebook comment and says, "The Bible says, believe that Jesus is the Son of God and that he died for our sins. So I cannot tell someone who believes Jesus died for their sins and walks according to the Scripture that he is not saved," he said. What he's implying is a modalist like T.D. Jakes or an anti-Trinitarian would still believe in Jesus. Let me stop there for a moment and explain this. Without a belief in the Holy Trinity, we can't understand that God saved us by himself, for himself. We don't understand that Jesus came to do the will of the Father who chose us, the Son who would propitiate the wrath of God the Father. Furthermore, to not believe that Jesus and God the Father and God the Holy Spirit are all triune, co-equal, co-eternal persons within the Godhead is to believe effectively in a false God. For example, as Bizzle says that he can't tell someone who believes in Jesus that he died for our sins and walks according to the Scripture that he's not saved. What if I believe that Jesus died for my sins, but I'm referring to the mechanic down at the local garage, Jesus? You would say to me, well, hold on a moment, that's the wrong Jesus. Yes, his name is Jesus, but that's not the Jesus of Scripture. That would be an idol. That would be something standing in the place of God, and in the case of the non-Trinitarian Jesus of T.D. Jakes, we would say that is an idol that you've crafted in your imagination in a violation of the second commandment. You see, by Bizzle's logic, literally any cultist who would call their God Jesus could be saved. Furthermore, to deny that any person of the Godhead is God is to deny the deity of God completely. But what it boils down to is this: do you know the real Jesus or the false one? Now, Bizzle said, quote, "Unfortunately, the same people who made it their job to expose T.D. Jakes on this, they didn't try as hard to spread the good news," he says. "Also, believing in the Trinity to be saved isn't biblical either." Now, let me stop there for a moment and read the words of Jeff Maples. He says, "Of course, this is opposed to the historical orthodox teaching of the church. To deny the Trinity usually means one of two things. Either Jesus is consigned to a subordinate position that denies or devalues his deity, or some form of unorthodox polytheistic view of the Godhead is embraced. And while the Scripture doesn't reveal all that there is to know about the Godhead, there are certain doctrines that the Scriptures do clearly teach, and to deny these biblical teachings is to deny the essence of who God is. Essentially, you see, the Scriptures teach that there's only one God, and the Father is God, the Son is God, and the Holy Spirit is God. The Scriptures also clearly teach that the Father is not the Son, or the Son, the Holy Spirit. The Son is not the Father, the Holy Spirit is not the Holy Spirit. You get the point." The screenshots were provided, again, on that post of Bizzle's anti-Trinitarian comments. The Christian hip-hop artist Bizzle denies Trinity is essential doctrine. But unfortunately, it's not only Christian so-called rappers that seem to have a problem with theology. There are even more popular CCM, that is, contemporary Christian music groups, that also have deep and troubling theological issues that you should probably be aware of in case you think that everything coming over your Christian radio is doctrinally legitimate. Perhaps the most notable of contemporary Christian music groups who deny the Holy Trinity that you may hear come across your Christian radio, in other words, perhaps one of the most popular groups that are not by historic definitions Christian that you may hear come across your Christian radio, is the music group Phillips, Craig, and Dean. Let me draw your attention to the doctrinal statements of these individuals. Randy Phillips asserted this on his church's website, quote, "We believe in one God who is eternal in his existence, triune in his," and here's the word, "manifestation," that's modalist language, they are triune in their persons, not just in their different manifestations, "being both Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and that he's sovereign and absolute in his authority." Now, if that line sounds familiar, it's because it's the same statement used, at least at one time, by T.D. Jakes in the doctrinal statement for the Potter's House International. Let me draw your attention to an article by, a statement of faith by Dan Dean's church. Quote, "There's only one true God that has manifested himself as Father in creation, Son in redemption, and the Holy Spirit at emanation." In other words, all three persons of the Holy Trinity are not those three persons at any given time, but only at different times, one God with different masks or manifestations. Consider again, if you would, another statement by Randy Phillips, who says this in his rather anti-Trinitarian book, The Inquirer's Textbook. He says, God appeared in the flesh as a Son, the Father, and the Holy Ghost. These are merely manifestations of one God. He says, you yourself may be manifested as a son to your father, a husband to your wife, and a father to your children. As an individual person, you may be manifested in various ways. Likewise, the Almighty God is manifested as a Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, while he remains indisputably, undeniably one. This is, again, explicit Sabellian or modalist language. Unfortunately, though, I might bring to your attention that Phillips, Craig, and Dean recently played at a Southern Baptist event in Texas. Yeah, anti-Trinitarians leading worship for Southern Baptists. But again, Phillips, Craig, and Dean and Bizzle aren't the only ones out there that are hardly Christian yet make quite a good living in the Christian music industry, entertaining Christians in the name of Jesus. As Jeff Maples explains to us in his post at Pulpit and Pen entitled Why Hillsong Music is Dangerous for Your Church, arguably one of the most influential figures in today's professing church is Brian Houston, the senior pastor of Worldwide Multisite Megachurch. They dominate the contemporary Christian music scene, and their songs are played in churches of nearly every denomination around the world. Popular songs like Oceans and Forever Rain, with lyrics like, quote, Spirit lead me, where my faith will be made stronger, and, quote, nothing compares to your embrace. They fill the screens of Baptist churches, Methodist churches, Pentecostal churches, even Catholic churches, churches of every kind on Sunday morning, ranging from electric guitars, drums, and professional soloists to small choirs with nothing more than a keyboard and a few singers. The music is emotionally captivating, bringing many people to tears with their arms lifted high as they sing out praises to God. So what then is there not to like? Well, first of all, Hillsong is a cult. Particularly, it is a cult of personality. In a blog post on Hillsong's website entitled Five Things That Should Matter to a Worship Leader, one of Hillsong's foremost worship leaders, that is Jonathan Douglas, he writes this, quote, we're about fulfilling our senior pastor's vision, not our own. He says it's so important that as amazing as our creative ideas might be, if they don't ultimately line up with what our senior pastor and leaders want, then we happily put them aside. The church doesn't exist to build our worship teams, but the worship teams exist to build the church. Here's the problem. Biblical churches don't exist to fulfill a leader's quote-unquote vision. Churches exist to glorify God, to preach and teach the scripture, to make disciples. Worship, likewise, does not exist to build a church, but to glorify God. Since Brian Houston, who, by the way, is currently under investigation by the Royal Commission in Australia for his involvement in covering up his father's sex crimes against children, he's the senior pastor of the church, Douglas has made it clear who the Hillsong worship program exists to serve, and it's Brian Houston. Well, Brian Houston's vision, by the way, you can see that, pulpitandpen.org, a video, basically includes making that church as worldly as possible to attract as many people as possible to its doors. From gay choir directors at Hillsong New York to literally a naked dancing cowboy at several of its events, it is trying to literally be like the world. As Jeff writes, Hillsong, through its attractive music that has a form of godliness but denies his power, creeps in to solid churches, deceptively turning people onto their ideology, drawing people to their vision, that is Brian Houston's vision of a watered-down church with lots of lost people in it, as they build a church merely for the sake of building a church. A wide-ranging variety of music, some that may seem very solid theologically on the surface, which, by the way, even Satan masquerades as an angel of light, according to 2 Corinthians 11. Some music that's blatantly shallow, and some that's even unbiblical. It has the effective method of takeover. It's deceptive, and it's evil. When you go to church this weekend and you listen to the music that is sung, ask yourself the question, does this come from individuals who truly know Christ, and who are interested in promoting his rather than their glory? Just think about it. Thank you for listening to Polemics Report. You can listen to the full episodes at polemicsreport.com. God bless you, and until next time, as always, Semper Reformanda.